live. Good morning, everyone. Today is Thursday, July 9th, and for today's podcast, I thought we'd take a moment and talk about the role of planning here at Electric Boat. Since I've come aboard and in my experience at General Dynamics NASCO, planning is a significantly important part of any shipbuilding enterprise. I think of it as the mortar between the bricks in our shipyard. And our planners translate what the engineers and designers create to enable the tradesmen and women to actually build the ship. And because of how critical I believe planning is, I recently added the Vice President of Planning role to EB's leadership team, and that's a role that has been open for about 5 years. With me today is Ray Gabriel, who was named to that position earlier this year. So, Ray, thanks for joining me this morning.
Thanks, Kevin. It's great to be here.
So let's start talking a little bit about this. You're a Navy veteran and quite an accomplished one at that. So talk a little bit about your background before you joined EB.
Yes, sir. I was in the Navy for 32 years, operating in submarines as an operator and a submarine warfare officer. I have degrees in engineering and power systems and then a master's in mechanical. While I was in the Navy, I had the privilege to command two fast attack submarines right here in Groton, the USS Providence, SSN 719, and USS San Juan, SSN 751. Upon my retirement, you know, I was looking to take that operator knowledge and continue to support the vital interests of the nation and the submarine community, and EB was a natural choice for me. I had the privilege of being picked up and work in nuclear operations as a manager, both early construction and resources, and then moved on to director of ship test, Department 272, before coming on board in the planning organization.
Well, thanks, Ray. I appreciate the that background, and I appreciate also you being on the senior leadership team. I've talked about this with a lot of our folks before, and if you hadn't heard me talk about it before, I really look at three key elements to making sure that we are building ships efficiently. And it doesn't really matter whether you're building submarines or surface ships or commercial ships or whatever. Those three elements are: you got to have a complete design, you got to have the material available, and then you have to have the work instructions. If you get those in front of our trades folks, you have knocked down all of the barriers that affect the efficiency of that construction, and you're going to be successful. And I think that's what we're working on. So there's a lot of work we've got to go do here. But talk a little bit more about that, Ray. Give me some of your philosophy about planning.
Hey, sir. My pleasure. I think those things that you stated, those three key elements, planning and construction readiness play a vital role in all three of those elements. When you come to the planning organization, it's very diverse and covers many aspects of shipbuilding. But the bottom line is, we take what the engineers translate in the form of design, which come out as drawings, and we provide that bridge to operations, both down here in Groton and up in Quonset Point, for the shipbuilders to be able to understand and execute every step of the way their responsibilities in making sure that the ship is built to the specifications the first time. We pride ourselves in the design build aspect. We're embedded with the designers as we come up with the design, and then translate that to the build, which is ultimately, as a direct support role, our primary responsibility is to the operations department and ensuring their success.
And I think that design build philosophy that we did on the Virginia program way back in the mid 90s timeframe is now time tested, and there are shipyards all over the country and all over the world now who follow that design build philosophy. You can't build something without making sure all the stakeholders have a say in how that's supposed to come together. So let's talk a little bit about that that design-build approach as it relates to the Virginia. Talk about how complex getting the planning done is for a submarine.
Absolutely. If you just take a high level, to build just one of these submarines is about 8 million hours spread over 5 or so years. So you can imagine, the complexity of the plan. And if we didn't have a plan, how hard it would be. So, just like anything else, whether you're building a house or a surface ship or a nuclear-powered submarine, the plan must be digestible at the mechanic level. So we take this 5 or so year span and we just simply put it into chunks. And our first primary chunk is in the form of activities. And this plan comprises over 12,000 activities. And these activities are really form the integrated master plan, our integrated master schedule. And I'll talk a little more about the importance of this master schedule a little later on. But we take these 12,000 activities over the duration of 5 or so years, and then we say, hey, you know what? The mechanic works toward work instructions. So we break it even further, and we account for every hour of those 8 million in about 450,000 work instructions to complete this work. So as we were reaffirmed with our Vermont situation, hey, every piece and part must be accounted for and consumed during the build. There can be none left on the table. This planning, this integrated master schedule and work instructions really form the primary basis for certification, showing that we consume all these pieces and parts to specifications that the designers dictate. So when we take this boat out on sea trials with the Navy crew and our shipbuilders, that we know it will perform the right way the first time.
So important to the way this business is intended to function. So let's talk about your role as the Vice President of Planning now. You've got a few weeks really under your belt now. So talk a little bit about your priorities, short-term priorities, I guess. Let's talk about those first.
Yes, sir. I know the primary short-term objective of the organization is to improve our alignment with the operations organizations both here in Groton and at Quonset Point and make sure we are aligned with their priorities in execution of the build. The bottom line is the shipbuilder is our end customer, ours in planning and really in it, for any support organization, it is the same. So we need to ensure that we stay aligned with them to ensure they have what they need to build their part of the product.
And I think it's important, too, that we're helping lift the burden off the shoulders of the supervisors and the general foreman. I think they've got a very difficult job, whether you're talking about Quonset Point or you're talking about Groton here. Those guys particularly don't need to be burdened with trying to figure out the sequence and the plan. That's really where the planners can come in and be a strong ally to help those guys be more effective every day. So talk a little bit about the long-term strategy. Where are we heading here?
Yes, sir. I think when you look at the longer-term strategy and you bounce it on the discussion we just had at a high level, I think it's fundamental that we continue to build the trust and confidence throughout the enterprise in our integrated master schedules. These master schedules are an enterprise-wide product that really captures all the knowledge for all of us to use, whether it's shipbuilding and building the product or manpower planning or the spatial planning that goes into what will soon be building three separate classes of submarines, both continuing Block 4 construction, the Block 5 construction with the Virginia payload module, and lastly, the Navy's number one shipbuilding priority, the Columbia. So in order to have all those things moving in concert, you need integrated master plans, not only for each of those classes of ship, but they need to be integrated together. So ultimately, that is the long-term objective. Simply, we plan the work, so we work the plan.
Well, good. Appreciate that. And you know, we talked a little bit about the planning organization being the mortar between the bricks and the wall of a shipyard. And when you think about a brick wall, you typically, even you call it a brick wall, you don't call it a mortar wall. And you kind of ignore that mortar. I think that we need to change the way we think about that, because I think the planners are unsung heroes here at Electric Boat. The role they do and what we all do collectively can't be done without the planners. So talk to us a little bit about the kind of people who make good planners. Who do you need, and what are the skill sets you're looking for?
Yes, sir. I couldn't agree more. I've been in the job for a month. I'm extremely impressed by all the people that I meet, both here in Groton and Quonset, that are proud to call themselves, you know, planners, writ large. You know, it is a pure direct support role, which requires technical skills to be able to use the tools and the business systems that each one of these planning sectors needs to do their job. You know, if you really want to understand how a shipyard works, I would say, hey, become a planner. You know, it provides an insight into operations, into material, into design. You name it. If we do it here at Electric Boat, there's likely a planner behind the scenes, you know, assisting. I will say this, you know, our demographics are changing like everywhere else in the shipyard. You know, traditionally, you know, planners have come from operations after very successful careers in operations, and they provide that perspective. But as our demographics and operations changes, you know, so do our demographics in planning as well. So, you know, we're always looking for engineering and operations folks that want to come and join the team in this highly vital direct support role. But I would say, hey, above that, you know, again, you know, bounding on the master scheduling, these things tell us what our skills are going to be in the future and what we need to look for. So, you know, we are dedicated to providing our planners with the training and knowledge necessary for them to be confident and competent in their job, you know, once they're hired. So I'm proud to say, hey, we've secured funding for, you know, planning training, you know, internal to the company. And as well, we're looking at ways similar to the way operations has leveraged, you know, workforce development out, you know, with Three Rivers and Welding and up at the Westerly Education Center to try to get planning as a core curriculum in some of our community college venues. So I got to tell you, lastly, you never know how good of people that we have writ large, and planning is no different during this COVID-19 situation. I'm very proud to say that the planning and construction readiness organizations, in most respects, not only maintained their throughput, but in some cases improved their throughput from all these different things that we did to keep our people safe during this pandemic.
Couldn't agree more, and appreciate the great effort by the planning team. And think about the planners and what we do. I'm absolutely convinced in this yard what we plan, we do extremely well at. And so that role can't be overemphasized. So thanks, Ray. Appreciate you taking the time today to help us understand the planning role. Especially in the context of all the work, the opportunity as we grow into Virginia Block 5 and the Columbia program, and I'm glad to have you aboard. Before I close out this week's podcast, I want to provide a quick update on our COVID-19 case numbers. Since my last report last week, we've had 3 new cases. We're now up to 80 cases. 57 of those employees have been returned to work. We've had one case in Cape Canaveral, one additional case in Cape Canaveral from a Quonset employee, works normally in Department 904. The last day of work was June 18th, and they were tested on June 30th. And we've had 2 employees last night who have been out of work for approximately a week, both of them at Quonset Point. So COVID's still with us, folks. We need to make sure we're maintaining our social distance and we're following the protocols for hygiene and especially wearing masks. And I can't reiterate enough that if you don't feel well, stay home. Earlier this week, HR published an update to the COVID-19 wellness pay and benefits guide. That's online. You can check it out. The guide provides a lot of helpful information, including answers to our employees' most frequently asked questions on pay and benefits. And simply put, you have options other than coming to work sick with COVID. So please make sure you're aware of that. Work with your supervisor, and we'll include a link to the guide in today's podcast and transcript for your use. And you can also talk to your supervisor and make sure that you've got a copy of the guide and go through it with him or her. So thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.